Hi there, it's Ed here with a short message before we start the pod this week. Did you know that our most informed investors get insights, articles, and investment ideas from Tom, me, and the team sent directly to them via email, and it is completely free. You can join them. Just subscribe at fidelity.co.uk/newsletters.
In the markets this week, inflation is the main focus in a holiday-shortened week on both sides of the Atlantic. Copper bulls have big gains for the red metal in their sights, and bond downgrades loom as the economy finally slows. The big question for central bank watchers this summer is less whether there will be rate cuts, but where they will come first. The US was for a long time expected to be first out of the blocks, but the narrative has changed this year as the American economy has held up better than anyone expected, and the return to 2% inflation has been repeatedly postponed. On this side of the Atlantic, however, the path to cheaper money looks much clearer in Europe more so than here in the UK. And this week, we will get the latest indication of whether inflation on the continent is returning to target and whether or not that sets the ECB up for the first rate cut in this cycle next week. Eurozone inflation has been heading lower for 4 months now, but as in the US, the final mile looks like being the hardest. Consumer prices are expected to be 2.5% higher than a year ago, which would mark a slight acceleration from the 2.4% inflation low point reported a month ago. Unfavourable comparisons for energy prices and last year's launch of subsidised rail tickets in Germany are being blamed for the modest reversal in inflation. Now, whether that persuades the ECB to err on the side of caution will only be clear on the 6th of June, when it announces its next rate decision. ECB President Christine Lagarde said last week that there was a strong likelihood of a cut in June, so it would probably take a pretty big reversal in the inflation rate to divert the central bank from its preferred course. What it could mean, though, is that the June cut is not the first of many. July could see a pause in the easing programme. The US also sees inflation data this week, although not the official CPI reading, but the Fed's preferred measure, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. The current expectation is that inflation in America has broadly stalled at 2.7%. The core measure, which strips out food and energy costs, should also be flat at 2.8%. Inflation in the US remains above target after a first quarter in which readings were persistently above expectations. 2 weeks ago, the April CPI number came in at 3.4%, resuming its downward trend, but only slowly. The Fed continues to sit on its hands with interest rates between 5.25% and 5.5%, disappointing investors who had hoped that by now rates would be on their way down. Here in the UK, the inflation focus this week has been on shop prices. The latest data from the British Retail Consortium showed that shop inflation eased in May, helped by falling furniture and other non-food prices. Shop prices rose by an annual rate of 0.6% in May, down from 0.8% in April. The falls reflected price cuts as retailers try to revive subdued consumer demand, which has started to be hit by rising mortgage rates and the ongoing cost of living crisis caused by a 20% or so rise in prices since the pandemic, which has not been matched by an equivalent rise in wages. The inflation rate may have fallen sharply from the peak level of 11.1% in October 2022 to just 2.3% last month, but that doesn't mean that prices are falling. They're just not rising as quickly as they were. Unusually wet weather in the spring also hit sales. The persistence of inflation and the prospect of higher for longer interest rates is finally starting to have an impact on economic growth, and that in turn is starting to feed through into the ratings attached to company bonds. In the US, a rising proportion of the nearly $9 trillion corporate bond market is at risk of being downgraded from so-called investment grade to high yield status. Rating agencies have 5.7% of company bonds on negative watch, meaning they're likely to be downgraded. That's almost double the 2.9% at the start of the year. On the flip side, the percentage of company bonds on positive watch, in other words, likely to be upgraded, stands at 5.3%. That's down from 7.9% at the start of the year. So these are not massive changes, but they are an indication that economic growth is finally starting to notice the rise in borrowing costs over the past 2 years. The resilience of the US economy has been one of the market mysteries during the post-pandemic monetary tightening cycle. The significance of a downgrade is that investors usually demand a higher yield to lend to a more lowly rated company. And because rising bond yields go hand in hand with lower prices, that's bad news for the many investors who've poured money into bonds in the last year to try and capture attractive yields before interest rates finally retreat from their current 23-year high. The prospect of falling interest rates has been one of the drivers of a strong stock market since the October 2022 low. Investors are now wondering where we stand, both in terms of the cyclical bull market that's been underway for the past 20 months or so, and also the longer-term bull market that's arguably been running ever since the financial crisis in 2008. On the basis that the average duration of a cyclical bull market phase is 30 months with a 90% rise in prices, today's 20-month duration and 50% increase since the market low would seem to suggest that there's more road to travel. Here, though, is where the market links back to all that inflation data that we've focused on this week, because in inflationary environments, bull markets are often shorter and shallower. Part of the inflation story is around fiscal policy, and that brings the debate back to the ongoing presidential election, which this year places two relative big spenders up against each other. The US government is currently spending 6% more than it takes in taxes, and neither President Biden nor former President Trump look likely to rein that in, despite the economy being in robust shape. That's arguably unsustainable. It's likely to keep inflation higher, and so lead to higher for longer interest rates. Well, the markets are currently putting all of this together and concluding that interest rates can come down from here, but possibly not by as much as we all hoped a short while ago. With inflation at 3.5% or so and a natural real rate of interest of, say, 1%, it would seem reasonable for US interest rates to settle in the 4 to 5% range. That's probably higher than most investors were counting on a few months ago. As for the longer-term bull market, the rise since 2008-2009 is starting to approach the duration of the long bull markets in the 1980s and 1990s, and before that, between the end of the Second World War and the mid-1960s. In terms of price performance, the current cycle is a pretty close match to those two, although in valuation terms, there's less to worry about today. Although the headline valuation measure looks quite punchy, when you factor in the higher level of share buybacks today, it looks more reasonable. So for now, being fully invested in a well-diversified portfolio still looks sensible. The bull market is getting longer in the tooth, but it still has legs. And finally, one bull market that is arguably just getting underway is the one that's starting to attract attention in copper. We've talked about the possibility of a new copper supercycle here on a few occasions, and this week, the thesis got some high-profile support from a top hedge fund manager, Pierre Andurand, who said he expected the price of the metal to almost quadruple in the next few years to $40,000 a tonne. Copper is a critical metal in the energy transition and electric vehicles, which is leading to strongly rising demand against a backdrop of inadequate supply. The price has already risen by 20% this year to a new record of $11,000 a ton. The nature of commodities is that a rising price eventually triggers a meaningful supply response, which in due course reduces the price again. But in the meantime, the price can be volatile and can overshoot cautious expectations. Copper looks like one of the best ways to play the move to a net zero world.
Please note that the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may get back less than you invest. Investors should note that the views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon. This information is not a personal recommendation for any particular investment. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to one of Fidelity's advisors or an authorized financial advisor of your choice. Overseas investments will be affected by movements in currency exchange rates, and investments in emerging markets can be more volatile
volatile than other more developed markets. Reference to the specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Tax treatment depends on individual circumstances and all tax rules may change in the future. Withdrawals from a pension product may not be possible until you reach age 55, 57 from 2028. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. This podcast is meant only for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make